Guardians of Gaia, Chapter 5. Because the last few days had been a whirlwind, Wael had little time to take in her surroundings before falling asleep. She woke up the following morning slightly confused. She quickly relaxed when she remembered where she was. She was in one of the bunk beds in Bryn's cabin. Though she was the only one currently in the room, she realized she was not the only one who'd slept there that night. Each claimed bunk was decorated with old photographs and personal mementos of people working at the clinic. She was not sure what time it was, but she knew it must be late morning because the sun was fully up and the house was quiet. She made her way downstairs where Bryn was reading the newspaper, which Elle thought was unusual because she did not know any remained in circulation. "What are you reading?" she asked, rubbing her eyes. The previous night, it was the first time she'd slept well in the last few weeks, and because of this, she still felt groggy. "Silas started a newspaper when he took control of the guard," Bryn answered before taking a sip of tea. "What does it say?" Elle asked, taking a seat at the table. "The usual. Look at everything we are doing for the people. We've given you newspapers and food. Join the guard and see the benefits pour in." She showed Elle the cover. There was a picture of Sean shaking Hunter's hand while soldiers and clinic workers surrounded them, smiling. "Everyone looks happy," Elle stated before spreading some homemade jam onto a piece of toast. "We are grateful. I cannot tell you how badly we needed this partnership. It's not ideal, but does allow us to extend our reach," Bryn stated before passing a cup of tea to her cousin. Elle hesitated. She understood where Nyella was coming from. She'd witnessed the brutality of the guardsmen the day at Jack's Diner. She could not fully comprehend why Bryn would want to be involved with a group like that. Why is the agreement not ideal, and why are they so desperate to find Nyella? Bryn smiled and rolled her eyes at the reference of last night's argument. "It's not ideal because they are not the food and medicines I'd like to be providing. If it were up to me, I would be able to grow all of my own food and treat with local medicinal herbs. I want to figure out a way to boost the body's own defense mechanisms and teach people that they have the tools to heal themselves at their fingertips, using pharmaceuticals only when needed." "Why?" Elle asked, mostly to humor her cousin, who she knew was already in the process of mounting her own personal soapbox. Bryn spoke as though she was reciting a speech to a large group of people as opposed to a casual conversation with her own cousin. Her tone was serious and her words rehearsed. "Do you know what the forest plague was?" Elle nodded. She knew whether she wanted an answer or not, she was going to receive a lengthy explanation. "It was salmonella, an antibiotic-resistant strain of salmonella. The genetically modified foods were extremely susceptible to it, and because of years of overprescribed antibiotics, humans struggled to fight it off. The people who survived the first round practiced sustainable farming and refused antibiotics prior to the outbreak. They were the only ones who the medicines worked on." "And the military's food is genetically modified?" Elle asked. "Exactly. Right now, it's necessary evil because the need is greater than we can produce." Bryn took a sip of her tea before continuing. "After the first round of the plague, everyone took a step back and returned almost forcefully to a more sustainable, simpler methods of living. But at the time, not enough people knew about these methods or had been conditioned for things coming too easily for them to provide for themselves. Fortunately, Silas did take Nyella's advice and step up food and medicine production at this time. They were able to stop the resurgence of the disease and keep people calm. But it's a band-aid. The earth and humanity needs to heal. We need to remember some of the older ways." Elle was now fully awake and genuinely intrigued by what her cousin was saying. She was finally getting answers to the question she had. Her family had always protected her from the realities of the real world, for her to even feel or comprehend the hardships of others faced. She was 3 years old when the forest plague first broke out. Some of the earliest memories were heated conversations her family had regarding the spread and how they would protect picket wire. By the time she was old enough to have vivid memories, the forest plague had become a cultural villain that people rarely talked about. How did they not know about it growing up? "We were sheltered. Sustainable living was all we knew. I remember our parents discussing it, but we never really saw the effects. Hit more densely populated areas hardest. By the time I was old enough to understand everything, the spread had been controlled for years. Our parents did a good job. They gave us the protection that we needed to thrive as children and the skills to help as adults." Elle thought for a moment before continuing. "I still don't understand how an illness could create such violence and destruction." "There was a major shortage of food. People became desperate, started fighting, pointing fingers, and looting. It was awful. The military and National Guard attempted to control the violence on the coast. Communication began to falter. People were scared and began giving up their rights, while others fought to the death to maintain them. The coastal cities were decimated. Silas was an opportunist with a vision. Nyella thought it was a shared vision. It most definitely was not." "What do you mean by that?" Elle stated before taking another sip of tea. "Silas and Nyella met when they were two kids at the university. Nyala believed Ava was captured by the military, and Silas believed the government was responsible for the forest plague. He lost both his parents and younger sister to it. They united in their misery, both brilliant, both holding tightly to misguided anger. El stared out of the window momentarily, captivated by the busyness of the clinic before, responding, "Do you ever wonder why we are so lucky and others are not?" "What do you mean by that?" Bryn questioned, running fingers through her hair and looking concerned. "Why, we were born into a family who had the tools and resources to survive. We were born in a geographic area that would be less affected by something devastating as the forest plague. Why would Nyala hook up with a boy who had become such a powerful figure?" Elle responded, directing her attention to the bustling operation taking place on the other side of the glass window. "I mean," Bryn hesitated before answering, "I count my blessings daily, but no, I never thought of that. I think we're just lucky." When Elle did not respond, Bryn continued, "You don't have to feel guilty, you just have to be." The two girls sat in silence for several minutes before Elle finally spoke. "What do you think is out there, you know, outside of our reckless bubble?" "I wish I knew," responded Bryn, looking pensive. "I'm sure there are communities like ours, like the one we're building here. Maybe some with even more resources." "I like to think there's more communities like this than not." "Well, if it doesn't work out here, the Kansas territories are surprisingly welcoming," Elle responded with a smile. "That's actually where my father is now," Bryn continued. "He's out looking for communities like ours. Part of sustainability is working with our neighbors." Elle felt a pang of guilt wash over her. Everyone was working to make things better, and this whole time, I've been bitterly waiting for things to get better for me. The corners of Bryn's mouth turned down. "I'm sorry that you were away for so long. Soon we'll be looking to you for guidance. Do you have any other questions?" Bryn's pity did not make Elle feel better, but she had patiently waited to ask about her mother. She was so distracted with the events of her journey to the mountains and to reconnecting with her cousins that she had almost forgotten to ask if her mom had made it to her targeted destination. "When will I see my mom?" Elle asked before finishing the last sip of tea. Bryn smiled, comforted by the fact that she could finally give her cousin some good news. "She's with Ren. We just received word that she made it safely to BC-7, the community where Ren is living. It's about an hour and a half away. You will head there tomorrow with Nyala. You will see her tomorrow." "That's great news," responded Elle, allowing herself to smile. She could not wait to connect with more of her family. "Speaking of Nyala, did she ever make it back last night?" "She's around. She wandered in after breakfast time," Bryn continued. "Actually, I was thinking we could tour the clinic and then meet up with her along the way." Elle nodded. She developed an increasingly open mind over the past few days. The decision she'd made the night before while watching Nyala heroically save the young woman and child was absolute. She was still unclear how she would fit into the communities her family was building and the social and political state of the world, but she knew she was supposed to use all of the gifts and blessings that she had been bestowed upon her. Bryn first showed Elle the gardens. The crops were lush and green. There were several rows of carrots and an entire field of what Elena labeled as the Three Sisters, beans, squash, and corn. Another field that stretched almost as far as the eye could see contained several varieties of lettuce, spinach, and cabbage. Her Aunt Elena picked the sweetest of the berries and plums for Elle to taste. She did not know if it was the sweetness of the fruit or her interaction with her aunt that filled her with warmth, but Elle's mood lightened even more. Elena beamed with elegant pride as she watched her niece interact with the vegetation. Elle assumed she was proud of the produce she grew, but Elena was really beaming with pride as she watched her niece gracefully walk through the fields. Though Elle was unaware of it, the plants appeared to perk up in her presence. They leaned in towards her as she passed and blossomed at her touch. Elle felt at peace in the gardens. The delicateness and beauty of the plants around invigorated and calmed her spirit. She thought very seriously of remaining with her aunt the entire day. She imagined herself lying in the soft dirt, listening to the soothing soundtrack of the insects and chickens that lived in the foliage. Elle grew quiet. This was not a place for talking. It was a place for being. Bryn moved a slightly sedated Elle out of the gardens. Elle walked in silence, maintaining this meditative state until she and Bryn reached the first white building. Once inside, Elle noticed a set of large wooden tables, similar to the one in the cabin, but much larger. Several people stood around, rolling dough and throwing it into a large adobe oven that generated a significant amount of heat. The second room of the large white building was lined with cots. People talked and rested casually while children ran around the maze of bedding, laughing as though all worry was a distant memory. Several workers changed the sheets and pillows, synergistically working to ensure the entire place remained warm and welcoming. Bryn explained to Elle that the first building included a temporary housing and a mess hall. People are allowed to stay there until they're stable enough to move. She further explained how people do have the option to stay, but only if they agree to help with the day-to-day activities of the clinic. She talked about acquiring land outside, to build more permanent housing. A cool confidence radiated from Bryn as she spoke. Elle observed how Bryn interacted with the people at the clinic and was impressed with the amount of respect she received from the workers and residents. Children ran up to her and gave her hugs, and mothers had tears in their eyes as they discussed what she had done for their family. Elle loved the energy of the mess hall and residence halls as much as she did the gardens. Like the field, she seemed to vibrate with life. The feelings cultivated in her were a far cry from the devastation of the city. Elle smiled as she watched the children play and took comfort in the fact that the child Nyala had rescued the day before would soon be running around and laughing with the other children. Her heart swelled. She turned towards Bryn, eyes watering. Bryn, she paused until her cousin turned to face her. She held her cousin's arms and stared into her crystal eyes. You did this. This place is incredible. Bryn shook her head modestly. It's not just me. No, Elle responded, but you were the spark. Bryn hugged her cousin before pulling away to meet Elle's piercing gray eyes. Thank you. Do you want to see the clinic? Elle nodded, but was no longer smiling. She had intentionally failed to mention to Bryn the incident on Nyala's bike. She wondered if seeing the young woman and child would reinvigorate the pain at the base of her spine. Both the fear of experiencing that pain and having to explain it to Bryn, who would undoubtedly react in a very maternal and dramatic way, held her back. I don't know, she explained. She could feel the color draining from her face and the heel of her boot dragging along the concrete floor as Bryn guided her out of the first white building. You'll be okay, encouraged Bryn before gaining a tighter hold on Elle's wrist and coaxing her towards the second building. Her firm grasp comforted her cousin. Almost immediately, Elle felt revived and empowered, increasing her speed of steps. A young boy sat outside the medical clinic. He greeted Bryn, who introduced him to Elle. She smiled at the young boy, who smiled back. He had wide, dark eyes and was holding a small blossom he'd picked off one of the zucchini plants in the garden. He handed it to Elle. For you, he whispered. Elle smiled even larger when she took the flower from the young boy. She pretended to smell the flower. He laughed and ran off towards the other children. Any bit of fear Elle had before this encounter with the young boy dissipated. With renewed confidence, she looked towards her cousin. I'm ready, she said. The two girls made their way into the building. The atmosphere of the clinic was vastly different than that of the mess hall and gardens. It smelled of antiseptic and healing flesh. There were several people recovering from burns, others from illness, and some were recovering from loss of limb. Children lay in beds while their parents prayed over their fragile bodies. Those who were sick were separated from those who were injured by a thin metal partition. Workers worked to change bandages and urged their patients to drink water, as intravenous fluids were saved for those who needed it most. Elle scanned the room looking for the young woman and child Nyala brought in. She felt a mild panic when she could not locate either. Bryn noticed her cousin scanning the room. They're not here, she noted, making her way towards the young woman who was standing over the toddler-sized cot. Elle followed her cousin, noticing that as they got closer, how strong the young woman looked mere hours after being whisked into the clinic in Hunter's arms. The young woman spotted Elle and ran towards her. Elle was caught off guard and almost lost her footing as the young woman smashed into her, embracing Elle in a tight hug. When she pulled away, she spoke in an accent Elle did not recognize. I am so grateful, squealed the woman. Elle looked embarrassed, thinking the woman might have mistaken her for Nyala. It wasn't me, whispered Elle. Oh, but it was you. It was you and your cousin. I'd lost all hope, but when you pulled up on the motorcycle and looked at me, I just knew things were going to be okay. And then Nyala picked us up and brought us here, and they are. They are okay. Elle looked at the young boy who was asleep in the bed. Is he going to be okay? Bryn nodded. He's going to be fine. Elle exhaled, realizing that even in the clinic, surrounded by the destruction and pain, there was a feeling of hope that fed and nourished the people it served. This time, Elle experienced no shooting pain, just an increase in her already overwhelming desire to help. Bryn and Elle stayed at the clinic for the rest of the afternoon, tending to the sick and injured. Elle quickly realized she was not equipped medically, but that she could service the needs of people who needed a patient ear, a gentle touch, and a reassurance that tomorrow would be better. She was comforted by the fact that she could provide these things, but was unaware of the true effect she was having on the patients.